when the love for your unsaved child becomes so burdensome, you're at a loss, what is your prayer? When a believer is faced with a trial like this one that I'm faced with right now in my family, between my husband and I, what should I pray for? When I see so much affliction in my life, in my health, in my body, should I be asking God to remove this affliction from my life or not? Those are the kinds of questions that believers ask. Those are the kinds of questions I've asked. And those are questions that I have been asked. And this is the passage of Scripture that comes to my mind most often. It's Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We have right here the very comfort of every believer. This is a very comfort for us concerning all our feeble petitions, all our feeble prayers to God. It says here, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. You know, we were taught some things in the Scriptures concerning prayer. This whole book is about praying. It's about coming to God and casting all our care upon Him. And we taught some things in the Scriptures about that, about praying to God. The believer has been taught by the Spirit of God that we pray to God, our Father. We have one object of our prayer. It is the God of glory. And we have been taught that we come to God through Christ. We know we can't approach unto holy God except through a mediator. We come in Christ. We've got some understanding of who we pray for. We pray for ourselves, ask the Lord to keep us. We pray for our fellow brethren. We even pray for our enemies. And we know it's a great privilege to approach unto God, to be able to come to His throne of grace, ask our Redeemer for help in time of need. But brethren, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's what the Scripture says. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. The infirmity of our flesh, that which we are in our flesh, causes us to desire things that, were they granted to us of God, not only would they not glorify God and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, they wouldn't be any good for us. That's so about our infirmities. We can become so inordinate in our affection and our love for another that it exceeds the love of God, the love that we have for our Redeemer. We can become so offended in our flesh by something that takes place amongst somebody that we have a relationship with in this earth, that we are not really praying for them, but we really are praying against them. We can have problems that are so afflicting in our flesh that we're not really praying for God's grace. We're just praying for it to be removed from us. The mother of Zebedee. Look over at Matthew 20. Matthew 20. James and John were the sons of Zebedee. In Matthew 20, in verse 20, it says here that then came to the Lord the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what you ask. You don't know what you're asking. He asked this to her, Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they truly, as feebly as she came asking this, they thought what he meant was, can you drink this cup and go through this? Can you be baptized? Can you go in the water? And they reply was, yeah, we're able. And that's how we look on the form of things and we think, well, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can pray. I can go through that form of prayer. But we don't really know what we're even doing most of the time when we do that. Not much less what we're asking when we ask. You know the story of Paul. I won't have you turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul was given that thorn in the flesh so that he wouldn't be exalted above measure after all of the revelations that God had given to him. And Paul prayed that that thorn in the flesh would be removed to him because it was an affliction in his flesh, just like bodily sickness or any of those things are. But the very reason God gave it to him was for his good. And if God would have taken it from him, that wouldn't have been for his good. And it wouldn't have been for God's glory either. It kept Paul right where he needed to be so that God received all the glory and he depended entirely upon the grace of God. And so our text says here, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And every child of God that's been given some understanding of just how deceitfully wicked the old heart of flesh is and just how depraved we are, that's some of the best news we could possibly get, is the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. Look at verse 26. The Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit of God itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is the certainty and the truth of us, is that the infirmity of our flesh is so great. It would be so prevailing over us, over the believer, that before we can even come to the throne of grace and ask Christ our Lord to give us grace to help in time of need, we have to have the Holy Spirit teach us what it is to even ask for grace. That's what he's telling us here. The Holy Spirit stirs up his people. This is what he does in the hearts of his people. He comes and stirs us up and he puts true prayer in the heart. He puts it in the heart. Our flesh is taken up with the form of things. That's what the carnal man's taken up with, the form of things. So flattered by our own selves. So concerned about what we can see and what we can look at, we don't really even know our need of God's grace until the Spirit of God comes and makes it known in our heart. Until he comes, we're just dead. We're dead. We're under the law of sin and death. We're dead. We can't bring ourselves to God. We can't look up to God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to anything God says at all. Not able to be. Can't be. We don't even know as believers that we have a need to ask God to forgive us our sins, even as believers. We don't even realize we have a need to be forgiven our sins and realize we've come into sin and we're walking away from God until the Spirit of God stirs us up to see it. We don't even know that we've come under a cloud of darkness at all. We could be told this over and over. We could hear it preached over and over, but we don't know it until the Spirit of God comes into our hearts and makes it known unto us that we need the grace of our Redeemer. We need God to give us more grace. We don't even know we need more grace till He gives us that grace and stirs us up. That's what we're being told here. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us. He comes in and He does this. And it says here, these are groanings that cannot be uttered. There's times we can't even utter a word, can we? There's times a believer can't utter a word. Look over at Psalm 77. Look at verse 4. Psalm 77, 4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. You ever had that happen? Who held your eyes waking? We'd just go fast asleep in all our sin and all our rebellion if He didn't open up our eyes. Thou holdest my eyes waking. I'm so troubled, I cannot speak. Look at Psalm 38. Back at Psalm 38, verse 8. I'm feeble and sore broken. I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desires before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. My heart panteth. Is that, that's what we're talking about. My heart is panting. You ever seen a dog pant? His tongue just fell out just about touching the ground. He's just panting. My heart pants. My heart is panting. My strength fails me. The light of my eyes is gone from me. My lovers, my friends stand aloof from my sore. My kinsmen stand afar off. He says, but Lord, verse 9, my groaning's not hid from Thee. Hezekiah, when he was brought to that place, he said, I was like a crane, I was like a swallow just chattering. Nobody could understand what he was saying. Nobody could hear what he was saying. Nobody had a clue what he was saying. He was just chattering. You know where he was brought to? You know where the psalmist is telling us he was brought to, where David is saying he was brought to? He was brought to say what Hezekiah said, Lord, undertake for me. You know, we don't understand when that happens, when the Lord's really working in us to make us pray. We don't understand the depth. These are groanings that can't be uttered. It's not only that we can't utter a word or really utter what we're trying to put into expression, but we don't realize, really, the depth of what the Spirit of God is working in us. We don't really understand that the supplications that are created within us by the Spirit of God, those supplications that are so heavy that we can't even speak. We don't understand that these groanings are brought about by details, intricate details of the Spirit of God that are too great for us ourselves to even realize. we don't really have the appreciation of what Christ has done for us, nor do we have an appreciation really of what Christ works in us. But when we're brought to that place and we do cry out to Him, when we're brought to the place where we really, where all we can really say, what do I pray for? How do I pray? What words do I say? When we're brought to the place where all we can really groan in our hearts is, Lord, Thou knowest. Lord, You know. You know why that's such a wonderful place to be for the believer? Because He does know. He does know. Look at the next word. Verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth. He knoweth. See, that's what we're talking about, is a searching of the heart. We're talking about Him stirring up the heart He's created. And He knows the heart He's created. He knows what's the mind of the Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. That's what Paul said. We know the things are freely given to us of God by the Spirit of God working in us, so that we have the mind of Christ. We want Christ to have the glory. We that's what we really want. And the Spirit of God puts that mind in us. And He that searcheth the hearts is God Himself, Christ our intercessor. He gave the Spirit, didn't He? He told His disciples, I'm going to pour out, when I go to the Father, I'm going to send a comforter to you. And when He's come, He's not going to speak of Himself, He's going to speak of Me. Whatever things I've taught you, He's going to bring to your heart. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to convince My people, wherever they are in the ends of the earth, He's going to convince them of judgment, of sin, because they don't believe on Me. He's going to convince them of righteousness, of judgment, of righteousness, because I go to My Father. I've accomplished the will of My Father, and I've gone to Him, risen again. And He's going to convince us of judgment, that it's done, that the work is finished. But He said, I'm going to do this through sending forth the Comforter, My Spirit. And He is God, the Son, the One who is God in human flesh. And He searches the heart. He knows the heart. And He stirs us up in the heart by His Spirit. And He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Look over at Matthew 6. I know that there's some who say, well, I know how to pray. You don't tell me I don't know what to pray for. The Lord said, beware. He said, beware. Beware of men who not only think they know everything there is to be about prayer, but are ready to stand up and prove it to you by praying in front of you. He said, be careful. Be very careful. But this is what, and these are not the, so I what I'm saying is, I know that this won't be satisfying to some, but I know this is what God makes in the heart of His child. This is what He creates in His child. These aren't, I wouldn't tell anybody what to pray. I would never answer, I can't. But the Spirit of God does. Spirit of life, Spirit of Christ that enters in, He does. He teaches us. He can only He can do this. And this is the Spirit that what He teaches us. And this is the, it's not the exact words. It's not what we copy. It's not even put into words sometimes. But God doesn't need our words. It doesn't mean we don't pray with words, but He doesn't need our words. He doesn't need our words. The desire that He's put there is there because He put it there. And He already knows what we need before we ask Him, because He's the one that put it there. And this is what He's bringing us all the time. This is it. This is the Spirit concerning God the Father. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Hallow Your name, Lord. That's what he brings us to pray. Lord, Father, hallow your name. Thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Thy will be done. As it is in earth, as it is in heaven. Look it down at verse 13. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's the spirit of what he's bringing us to pray. Look over at John 17. This is the Lord's Prayer. Really the Lord's Prayer. If this is the prayer of our intercessor, do you think this is the prayer that the intercessor is going to put in the heart of his child by his Spirit? It is. Here it is. John 17:1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. That's the prayer he puts in the heart of his child. Father, glorify your Son. Glorify Christ Jesus, your own Son, that he may glorify you. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Lord, our Father, this is what we pray. Father, we desire for Christ to be glorified. You've given him the power. You've given him power to give eternal life to as many as you've given to him. That's what we pray. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's what we pray. To know God and Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. Christ said, I've glorified thee on the earth. And that's our petition. We come to God through Christ saying, Father, your Son has glorified you on this earth. That's how we approach in his name. Your Son's glorified you on this earth. He says, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That's our petition of God. Lord, for the sake of Christ who finished the work you gave him to do. He came because we could not, by our own selves, accomplish your law and satisfy your law and obey your commands and honor and magnify it. He came. And by his life he did so. And by his death he justified us from all sin. Lord, he finished. Father, he finished the work you gave him to do. This is praying in the name of the Son. And now, O Father, glorify thou me. This is what Christ, the Son of God, prayed. Glorify thou me. And this is our prayer. When we pray in his name, we're praying, Lord, Father, glorify your Son. Glorify your Son with your own self, with the glory which he had with you before the world was. Glorify, sanctify these that you've called with your truth. And then we pray what he said down here. Look here. He says down in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's what we pray. Lord, we pray for those that you're going to which shall believe on you through their word, through the word of this gospel, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in Christ, and Christ in thee, that they all may be one in us, Christ said, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That's what the believer's praying. And by guiding us into all truth, doing this through the Spirit of God, by God the Holy Spirit himself, God the Holy Spirit's glorified. So that the prayer, now listen to this, I mean real prayer. I'm talking about when he brings us, when he puts us in our hearts. This is what our text is saying. Prayer that's put in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Prayer that we're brought to pray this very thing right here. It's in harmony with the will of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit maketh intercession, stirs us up, the saints up, according to the will of God. And Christ Himself is making intercession for us according to the will of God. And this all is done, and it's the will of God, isn't it? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is what we're learning. Prayer, it's not to turn God to us. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is God turning His child to God. It's not the child turning God's will to us. It's the God turning the will of His child to God. That's what prayer is. True prayer is. It may be the burden that He gives us that's our own sin. It may be the burden of a weak brother in the church. It may be the burden of a trial in our home. It may be the burden of our unbelieving child. But everything is to bring the believer nearer to Christ our Redeemer, to teach us to submit everything to the will of God our Father. You mean that my unbelieving child that I'm so burdened down with, the purpose for which God's given me that burden may not necessarily be as much for that child as it is for my own self? That's right. That's right. To bring you, who He's given this burden to Him, to cast it all on Him and trust Him. Have you ever prayed sometimes when the Lord, He gave you a heart to pray, and you prayed and you asked Him to do something, and it came to pass, and it seemed like exactly what you asked God to do, He did it exactly. You ever experienced that? And you just are amazed at it, and you say, He has heard me and He answered me exactly according to what I asked Him. You know why that happens? You know why that happens? It's not that we turn God to do our will. It's that the Spirit of God turned us to ask God for the very thing which God already purposed He was going to do. Look, let's read the rest of the context here in Romans 8:28. And we know this is where He brings us. He brings us to know. This is not just a doctrine. He's going to bring His child to know this experimentally, effectually in our heart. Through great burdens that He puts on us, He's going to bring us to know that all things are working together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He's going to bring us to rest right here, that whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And He's going to bring us to this grand conclusion. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. For every child that He's redeemed and called by His grace and made us to behold this great grace He's done, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? Is Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? The Spirit's stirring us up and working this in us and bringing us to cry out to him. And it's in perfect conformity with Christ at the right hand of the Father, who's making intercession for us there. And it's everything he's making intercession for, presenting himself to the Father, being there in the presence of the Father, our advocate with the Father, is all the great and glorious will of the Father. You see the harmony in all that? That's why he's bringing us to cry these things. And so we have this assurance. Turn over to 1 John 5:14. That's great comfort to me. This is the great consolation and support of the believer. You and I do not know what is best for ourselves. We just don't. We just don't. We don't know the particular things that we ought to be asking God for in this life. We just don't. We do not know how to pray as we ought. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit is going to bring his saints to submit all in the hand of God and to ask for God to do his will, to glorify himself, and save all of his elect from our sins, that Christ himself may receive all the glory. That's what our consolation is. That's where he brings his child. And 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. This is that confidence he gives us. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. How do we ask according to his will? We just saw it, didn't we? The Spirit of God. He causes us to ask, Lord, glorify your name. And if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Does that comfort you? Does that bring you to... Does that answer the question? I can't put that in a person's heart. If we see what happened. Our Lord Jesus Christ showed us that spirit of what true prayer is, and what I read to you there in Matthew, that everybody calls the Lord's Prayer. And we see what men will do with that without the Spirit of God. Men will stand up and say that very thing. And that would be the case with you and I. If somebody told us, what do I pray in this situation? And somebody told us exactly, another man told us exactly what to pray, we'd repeat it verbatim and think, now God ought to bless me because I said that. That just is not how God operates. He does this in the heart. And he makes it not a form. He makes it in power and in truth and in spirit. And that's how he makes us rejoice and consoled in our heart and stop praying for things that are necessarily so selfish and so far our asking amiss, to bring us to just say, Lord, do your will. You know, Lord. And we know when we ask, we have what we ask every time. Amen.